Well, it is an exciting Sunday to be part of worship with you. I am so glad that we can be doing this together. We are reading from all four of the Gospels this morning. As you may know, that the Gospel accounts tell the same story, but in a little bit different way, because although it is the Word of God, each book maintains the voice of its author. And as we tell stories differently, so did the disciples. Not all of their gospel accounts include all the same things, but the triumphal entry is included in all four gospels, which in and of itself helps us to understand the significance of it. And so we'll be reading just short passages from each of the four gospels, helping us to paint a complete picture of that day. And we'll begin in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Then Luke 19, 37 through 40. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the almighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." In John 12, 17 through 19, the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard that he had done the sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that they are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." In Mark 11, 11. And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we had an audience participation children's sermon. We are going to have an audience participation sermon as well. If you are one of the lucky few that still has a palm branch in here, this is for you. So every time that you hear me say the word go or going, I want you to wave your palm branch. And it'll pick up more towards the end. But in the meantime, as you're waiting for that to happen, if you notice somebody next to you that might be falling asleep, you can use your palm branch to just, you know, tickle their nose or, you know, pass them around as necessary. So today is Palm Sunday, also known as the Triumphal Entry Sunday. And it marks the beginning of the end. For 3 years, Jesus had preached, taught, healed, and now, during Passover week, he's entering the holy city, Jerusalem, the city whose name literally means fountain of peace. And over the next 8 days, Jesus enters Jerusalem. He cleanses the temple, challenges religious leaders, institutes the Lord's Supper, is arrested, tried, crucified, and then raised from the dead. Palm Sunday marks the beginning of the week that all of creation has been waiting for, that all of creation has been groaning for. The events of this week, planned before the foundation of the world, were not just climactic then, but they're climactic for us today as well. This is what it's all about. Jesus entered Jerusalem, and as he did so, he asserted himself as Messiah. Previously to this, he's kind of quiet about his public profession of who he is, telling people that he's healed to, you know, kind of keep quiet about what he's done. They didn't, and word spread, and he talks to his disciples about who he is. But here he makes this bold proclamation of exactly who he is, that he is the coming king, that he is the long-awaited Messiah. And God designed every detail of Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem really to show us just what kind of king that Jesus was. He wasn't the kind of king that they were looking for. And really, he's oftentimes not the kind of king that we're looking for today. But he is the divine king. To say that the Lord needed the animals, the donkey and the foal, it was more so than just saying that this is my master's request or a teacher's request or the rabbi's request. What they were literally saying is that this is the Lord. This is God asking for these animals. So this is the divine God entering Jerusalem. He's the prophesied king. We read the quotation from Zechariah 9:9 in the passage from Matthew. This was written 500 years before Jesus enters Jerusalem. 500 years. This is a plan that is long established. Really, before the foundation of the world, this plan has been established. But the people have been hearing about the coming of the king in this manner for 500 years. Israel finally has a righteous king, unlike so many of the other kings that have come before Jesus. Here we have one that is fully righteous. He is the Savior King. Hosanna literally means save now. This is what the people are crying out. They're crying for Jesus to save them. It's a quotation from Psalm 118, verses 25 through 26. It says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." During Passover, which is this time right now, the population of Jerusalem would swell 5 to 6 times that its normal size. The crowds would have been huge. And Passover week, is a celebration where the Israelite people would remember what God had done when he delivered them out of Egypt. That they would remember the Passover lamb and the blood that they had put over the doorposts and how the hand of judgment of God passed over them and that they were rescued out of Egypt. It is not a mere coincidence that Jesus' triumphal entry arrives during Passover week. It's not just a coincidence that the true Passover lamb appears during the festival of the Passover lamb. Jesus is reminding the people that he is a gentle king. He didn't enter into Jerusalem arrogantly or with a show of might, but humbly, meekly. He came into the city not with riches, but in poverty. Not in majesty, but in meekness. He came humble and mounted on a donkey. He is the peaceful king. It was not uncommon for the Israelite people to see a king riding on a donkey. Really, it goes all the way back to King David and Solomon. What's really the key here is when a king would ride on a donkey. A king would ride on a donkey during times of peace. If the nation were at peace, that's what the king would ride on, as a symbol of peace. But if the nation was at war, then the king would ride on a war horse as a sign of his might and power. And so Jesus enters on an animal of peace. And he enters into the city known as the City of Peace, riding on an animal of peace into the City of Peace, declaring peace, that through him all people would be able to experience peace with God. He is the compassionate king. Luke tells us that as Jesus approached Jerusalem, that he wept over the city. Jesus was deeply moved by the sinners that he was coming to save. And then the day ends rather uneventfully. Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He goes to the temple. He looks things over carefully, sees that it's late, and leaves with the disciples for Bethany. He makes this commanding survey of the situation and goes away to return the next day. And that's when he'll curse something. The temple. The temple that should have been bringing the nations to God, but in reality was driving them away. The crowds that celebrated Jesus' entry into Jerusalem were made up of the crowds that had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They knew that he had the power, and they knew who he was claiming to be, but he wasn't the type of king that they were looking for. They wanted to see him display his power, but they wanted him to display his power in such a way that would set them free from the Romans. But he didn't do that. He came for a much larger plan, to conquer a much larger foe. But he wasn't the king that the people were looking for, and that's why so quickly their cries turned from Hosanna, save now, to crucify him. The triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem moved him towards the death and resurrection. He entered Jerusalem knowing that he was going towards his death. To go means to move towards something. Triumphal entry moved Jesus towards his death, and his triumphal entry should move us as well. It should cause us to go. We have to ask ourselves this morning, is Jesus the type of Messiah that you're looking for? You know, it's not a secret that most people are looking for power to be displayed in their lives in such a way that it changes them and sets them free. The problem is that we're often looking for the wrong kind of power, the wrong kind of change, being set free from the wrong kinds of thing. We make it all about us. We somehow think that we know what's best for us. But history has shown that we're really not that great at knowing what's best for us. You see, when we rely on our own devices for change to come and for really salvation to happen in our lives, we see throughout history, throughout the Bible and human history, that that's when calamity strikes. When we're left to our own devices, we do a pretty good job of destroying ourselves. And that's why we need Jesus. Jesus calls us to go in very unexpected ways. He asks us to do things sometimes that seem crazy. Think about the story from today. He tells the disciples to go into Jerusalem to find a donkey that is tied up and to just take it. And that somehow the owners of the donkey are just going to be okay with it. That they're going to believe that, you know, it's God. You know, if I showed up at somebody's house and just took their car and, oh, don't worry, you know, God told me I could have it. I would be going to jail. But Jesus asks his disciples to do things sometimes that seem crazy. Primarily, he calls us to go into the world and to tell people about him and to grow the kingdom. So what kind of Messiah should we be looking for? What should we be moving towards? In what direction should we be going? Well, we should be going towards the King. This is a little bit more distracting than I originally. We should be moving towards the type of king that presented himself in the triumphal entry, the divine king, the one true God. We should be going or moving towards him, that we should be submitting to him, allowing him to rule our lives. We should go towards the prophesied king. Palm Sunday and Easter are not just a fluke. They're not just a coincidence. They're not some random events that happened in history or where the events just happened to line up. No, they were planned. They were prophesied. God knows exactly what he's doing. And we cannot mess up that plan. What good news is that? I mess stuff up every day. And this is something that cannot be messed up. The prophesied king. We go towards the righteous king. Righteous political leader. Jesus. How good does that sound? We go towards a saving king. That really, we have established, it's pretty clear that when we're left to our own devices, things don't go well. But as we move towards Jesus and we allow him to lead us and indeed save us, that's when change begins to happen. Really, that is the only way that our lives and our destination and our eternity can be changed. We go remembering that he is a gentle and loving king. That he came to save the worst of the worst. He continues to love people even as they beat and mock him. People who just outright hate him. He embraces and he loves. That he is a peaceful king. And we should move towards, or we should go to the peace that he has to offer. That we look for peace in all sorts of ways. But really, true peace can only be experienced through being made right with God. And Jesus makes that possible. As Jesus entered into the temple the day of the triumphal entry, he assessed things. He examined them. And really, his judgment was not really that great because what he found was that the temple was leading people away from God instead of directing them towards God. If he were to walk into our lives in this moment right now, or into our churches right now, what would he find? Would he find people in places that were leading people to God or leading people away from God? Would it be a blessing or a curse? Are our lives leading people into deeper and lasting relationship with their Savior, or are we drawing them away? And so, friends, this morning I would encourage you to go out from this place, to remember the type of king who has arrived, the type of king who has promised that he is coming back, that he desperately and passionately loves not just you, but the entire world, and that he wants to welcome them into going with life with him. And that is good news. That is news worth being a little bit silly and waving palm branches for. That is good news worth proclaiming everywhere we go. And so go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you richly bless our lives. We thank you that you move and work really in pictures, that we can visually see through the story of Palm Sunday, of the triumphal entry, what kind of king that you are, that there is no mistake about it, but you are the servant king, the humble king, the God, the king who comes to save, who loves us passionately. And we are so thankful for that. We pray that you would make that a reality in our hearts, that it would abide deep, deep within us, and that it would overflow out of us, that we would declare, Hosanna, save us, and thank you for doing it. Amen.